Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 and 6. If you could turn me down a little bit in the monitor, please. The Bible says this. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as people move eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to take full control. God, I'm asking you to direct my words and allow me to minister this word with conviction and power. I'm asking you, Jesus, allow us to get on the same page as the church. I'm asking you that you would allow us to break through. Father, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. And then I do want to, before we get into the message, I want to encourage you to please get behind Run for Hope. We have these envelopes there. And remember, Run for Hope is about you getting registered, but asking people to sponsor you. And I want to actually, I pray that you would show up on the 16th. We're actually going to run and walk for hope. Amen. You might not be able to go across the seas. However, we can go ahead and send finances. You know, I was listening to Brother Nakia. He said something that really struck me. You know, when you understand what God's done for you, it's not hard to give to the mission. And our mission is to reach disciples, is to make disciples, and to reach the hurting people of the world. How many know that if one day we're going to own our own building, it's going to take finances, amen? Come on, don't get quiet. It's going to take finances, amen? And everything we've been able to do has been from your generosity. And listen, I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't teach you the financial principles of God's word. The world will try to teach you all kinds of self-help gimmicks that only last. But I want to teach you to not fall prey to the spirit of mammon. And that's where we work to pay bills. God didn't call you to work to just pay a bill. God called you to work, and he's given you the ability to create wealth so you can be comfortable and so that you can be a blessing. Someone say amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I actually want to speak to you for the next few moments on the topic of teamwork. Someone say teamwork. How many are excited about the NFL season starting next week? Amen. Come on. Don't act like you don't. How many are excited for the Seahawks? Amen. Well, the NFL is here. You know, at the end of August and at the beginning of September, every year the national football starts its regular season. And 32 different teams, they all play in the NFL, and the sole purpose of them playing is to obtain the trophy of the Super Bowl. Someone say Super Bowl. Now, in the NFL, it's the player's job or the player's role to stay in shape, train hard, and perfect their position. But it's the coach's responsibility to develop the strengths of every player and to develop a team that can eventually work as a unit so that they can win football games. You know, at the beginning of every season, what happens is coaches and their staff, they put countless hours into evaluating talent, and then they try to compile a team so that they can win. Someone say win. Now, one of the things that fascinates me about the NFL is that on any given Sunday, any team can win. Any team. The other thing that fascinates me is every year there's always specific teams that spend a lot of money. They bring in superstars because that helps, right? I'm going to know it helps when you have a superstar on your team. But I have found that if the coach is not strong, just because you have a superstar on your team or a multiple superstars, that doesn't mean that you'll win the game. Are you with me? Because you can have the best players on the team, but if those players don't learn to work with each other, they will always collapse under pressure. You know, Michael Jordan said, talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. Someone else said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Teamwork divides the task, but it multiplies success. Let me give you one more. One more quote says, teamwork, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress, but working together is success. And I've been thinking about teamwork, and I've been thinking about the future of our church and what we want to see accomplished. You know, if you look all throughout the Bible, you will find that God gave vision to one man normally, but he brought a team together to see that vision come to pass. And I believe God has given us a vision to build a church in the Tacoma area that would affect all of Pierce County and one day be a training center where we can multiply disciples and then send them out to do the very work that reached our life. I've been really evaluating where we're going as a church. And when I look at what I want to see happen, I want to build a church that understands the presence of God, that understands what it means to tap into His presence and has a humble heart to worship Him because they understand the price that the presence of God cost. Are you with me? We've been studying about the Holy Spirit, and we've been studying how prior to God coming, Jesus coming here on earth, we didn't have access to the presence of God. But when Jesus died on the cross and he ascended into heaven, after he defeated death, you and I now have access. You don't have to tap into the presence of God here at church. You can tap into the presence of God at your home. But I want to see a church that understands what it is to humble their heart before the presence of God. The second thing I want to see when I look into the future and when I dream of the church that God wants to build here in Tacoma, it's a church that understands the great commandment, which is when he told his disciples, love as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said this one commandment sums up the entire gospel. When we learn to love people as God loves them. Because man's love is conditional, God's love is unconditional. And when God's people learn to love as He loved, how many know it's not hard to build relationships that last? It's not hard to have a marriage that's grounded on God's love and not love on conditions. Are you hearing me? We have people that have been hurt in this world, and they need to know the love of God, how it will never fail them, how it will never leave them, and it won't cast them aside because they messed up one time. Are you with me? The third thing that I want to see when I think of the future and I think of the church that God wants to build, I think that one day, first of all, like I mentioned, a church that exalts God. In other words, we know how to worship God. The second, we learn how to love the world as He loves the world. I'm not talking about loving the things in the world, but loving the people in the world. But the third thing that I want to see happen, I want to fulfill the great commission, which is going into all the world and making disciples of all nations and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me this morning? But in order for all that to happen, God's people need to learn how to work together. See, this morning I want to talk to you for the next few moments on the topic of teamwork, because I'm convinced that if we are going to excel our church to the next level, it's going to take
everybody in the church finding their place and willing to accept responsibility to advance the mission of God. It's not about my mission. It's about the mission of God. And that's, we are His hands, we are His heart, and we are His mouthpiece. We have been called, listen to me, to bring hope to a dying world. But if we are going to build a church that honors God, we are going to need to learn to work together as a team. Just about everything great, every great ambition, every great team, every great dream, it depends on teamwork. When you look at great companies, their success came as a result of people rallying around a cause, whether they got paid for it or not, and working towards a common goal. Now, what is a team? Well, by definition, it's a group of persons working together to accomplish a common goal. You know, when you look at the scripture we opened up with, we see one of the greatest examples of a group of people working together to accomplish a goal. Now, the Bible says that these people came together and they said, "Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches the heavens." And then they said, "Let us make a name for ourselves." And as they were working, the Bible tells us that God took notice of their work. And what happened when he came down? The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." Although the people had a self-righteous goal, they wanted to make a name for themselves. What caught God's attention was their ability to work with each other. And what we're going to do is I want to break down verse number 6, because there are some key elements of what it takes to be successful on a team. Are you with me? There are 3 specific things I want to point out in this scripture to you that I believe are essential towards team success. The first thing is unity. Someone say unity. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." How many know that unity is important when it comes to working with people? You know, the word "one" there, "if as one people," that word "one" is very significant in this scripture. Because if you were to look that word up in the Hebrew, it actually is a word defined agreement, alike, alone, a common thing, or unity. Basically, when he said, "if as one people, they began to do this," when he said "one people," he was referring to unity. Now, unity is the state of being united or combined into one thing. I read a quote this morning by a poet named Matty Stepanek, and he said this: "Unity is strength. When there is team and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved." Listen, what we need to do, one of the things that we want to do within our church, we want to help people get off of their agenda and get onto the agenda of God. Listen, I know you got an agenda. I have an agenda. But when you read the Word of God and you understand that God's agenda for your life is far greater than anything you could ever imagine, and when you begin to understand that God has a plan for your life and that everything was written, He knew the end from the beginning, and you learn to walk into that plan, you realize that there is peace, you realize success, you realize God wants to provide for you, you realize that you don't got to live under the condemnation of this world because God knew your name. See, there are too many people, they don't understand that God has a plan for their life. God has a plan for you. There are gifts and abilities that you have that would further the gospel if you just were willing to submit yourself to the authority of God. God wants to use your life to make a difference in someone's life. Are you with me? See, when I came in, I had a lot of complexes. Still got complexes. Come on, somebody wave at me. Where are my complex folk at? Yeah, come on now. Not everyone's complex. But my God, when I came into the church, I didn't understand unity. I picked a fight with everyone. I'm not talking about fist fight. I had this thing where I didn't trust people. And anytime someone would get close to me, I would sabotage the relationship by doing something dumb so they didn't want anything to do with me. Are you hearing me? That's pretty twisted, ain't it? We all have come across people like that. But listen to me. When you come to understand that God wants us to love each other, God wants us to work things out. If the church is going to be successful, you and I got to be willing to work with one another. We got to be willing to let down our complexes and love one another. We got to get off of our agenda and get onto the agenda of God. Are you hearing me? See, I found something about unity that's very interesting. Unity doesn't just happen. Are you hearing me? In order for unity to happen, there are a number of things that need to fall in place. Let me give you them. Number one, in order for unity to happen among a group, a humble heart needs to be developed in every person. Are you hearing me? Building unity does not begin with a certain kind of technique. It begins with a certain kind of heart, an unselfish heart, an authentic heart, desiring only God's best. When you look at some of the teams that are going to start playing, they're not going to start off so hot come next week in the NFL. But every year there's a team that doesn't have the greatest talent that comes out of nowhere. It seems like in the middle of the season, they start clicking on all cylinders. Understand this, unity doesn't just happen. Unity starts with a certain kind of heart, an unselfish heart that says, I'm willing to put my agenda aside for the agenda of the team. Are you hearing me? Ephesians 4, 2 and 3 says this, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, what's interesting about this scripture mentions the different attitudes we must have in order to keep unity. Because understand this, there's going to be conflict in the church house. Just wave at me. Come on, don't look at me like that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But the key is learning to have the quality of humility and lowliness. Someone say lowliness. Lowliness is to be humble in attitude or behavior. And I love this. When you look up the word lowliness, this is what you'll find. It's suited for a low-ranking position. That's heavy. This world doesn't teach us to take the low-ranking position. Amen. You ever see a buffet line? People go for the best big piece of chicken. Come on, somebody. Right? We're taught to go for the best and not think of anybody else. But in the kingdom of God, we got to develop a lowly attitude that is willing to put others first. Are you hearing me? But it's that type of a mindset that creates a servant's heart or a church that is willing to serve on all occasions. Not just some occasions, but all occasions. Are you hearing me? See, most people's natural tendency is to take the best place and let everyone else fend for themselves. But I'm talking about building a church that is humble in spirit, that understands what it means to put their agenda aside if God asks for it. I'm not asking you to give everything up. You have dreams, you have desires. God put those things there. But what I'm talking about is understanding the timing of God, understanding when it's time to sacrifice and willing to do so because God asked you, knowing when it's time to give Him more. Are you hearing me? Because to build a strong church, it's going to take people willing to sacrifice. See, a characteristic of being lowly is when we are selfless. Someone say selfless. Being selfless sometimes means that we step aside to affirm someone else's value. Are you hearing me this morning? Stepping aside to affirm someone else's value. Sometimes what happens is we go through things in life and then we have a hard time with people. And then we grow hard. We're no longer willing to affirm someone else's value because of what we've been through. But this is where lowliness comes in. Listen, don't let your heart grow hard. Don't give up on humanity. Learn to step aside for the sake of affirming someone else's value. Are you with me? See, this type of attitude on a team will build unity and diffuse drama. Someone say drama. See, great things happen when people develop a heart that is willing to step aside to affirm someone else's value. The second thing that must happen, if we're going to build unity as a team, an all-in mentality needs to be developed. Are you with me? See, having an all-in mentality keeps us from doing our own thing and working as lone rangers. I don't know what it is, but sometimes we come into the church and we're starving for relationships, but we revert back to our old nature and we want to do everything alone. God didn't create you to live alone. God didn't create you to fight every battle alone. You have more people on your side than you think. You just got to reach out. You just got to be willing to say, listen, I'm struggling. I got some things on my heart. I need someone to talk to. Are you willing to work with me? Are you willing to pray with me? Who's ever been there? Are you hearing me? But it's going to take us willing to ask, willing to step out. And listen, don't give up because you asked one time and for whatever reason, someone didn't respond. Because sometimes we're like, see, I reached out. Nobody, see, that was the one time. No, forget it. No. And who knows what happened. The phone was turned off. Kids were playing with the phone. Sometimes we step out, but we're hoping they don't answer. But I'm talking about putting your trust in God. See, an all-in mentality reminds us that others are depending on us to do our part. And I feel led to talk about this because, listen, the church today, sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll build a culture of convenience and comfort. But God didn't call us to convenience and comfort. He called us to commitment. If we are going to be God's hands, listen, God will ultimately build the church, but God wants to work through you to do so. Are you hearing me? And in order for us to build God's church the way He intends, we gotta be all in. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes we'll serve, but we'll only serve because it fits my calendar. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about submitting our lives to one another, understanding that we are interconnected to one another. You need me, and I need you. And together we're stronger. Are you hearing me? Romans 12:4 says, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body of Christ and individually members of one another. Ain't that heavy? We are individually members of one another. So if we're individual members of one another, that means we're interconnected. And if we're interconnected, that means in order for me to succeed, I need you. And you need the person next to you. Are you hearing me? See, unity is usually broken when someone on the team causes you to feel like they left you hanging. A lot of unresolved conflict comes because we feel people let us down. But I'm talking about unity. In order for a team to be successful, unity has to be developed and cultivated. Unity doesn't just stay from one day to the next. You got to cultivate unity within your relationships. Listen, married couples, you got to cultivate unity amongst each other. You got to come to an agreement in the direction that you're headed. And you can't just have that conversation once a year. If you do, you're going to fight quite a bit. I'm talking about finding out what you agree on. How do you agree based on your perspective today? Because what you thought yesterday might not be what you feel. However, understand this. No matter what, you're interlinked and you got to come to an agreement on the direction we're going to teach our family. We got to come into an agreement on the direction and how we're going to serve God. We got to come to the agreement of how we're going to discipline our kids. We got to come to an agreement on the standard that we want in our house. If we don't learn to cultivate unity in our houses, we will live in chaos. Are you hearing me? People don't think about unity, but you got to cultivate that bad boy. Because if not, once unity is broken, it can disrupt the flow of your household and even at your job. If you don't cultivate unity, I know that at our jobs, they pay us to do our job. But some of you work in offices so small that if you have an unresolved conflict, tension will be felt. And because you know better and because you're a son and child of God, you understand the word. And now we're being stubborn. We don't want to deal with it. Now the whole department feels awkward. Are you hearing me? You ever walked into a building, tension so thick you can cut the knife, kind of like today? Come on, somebody. You can't feel that? That's what you call oppression. See, some of you battled to get here, and some of you are struggling with some things. But understand this, the enemy wants to keep you from truth. The enemy wants to keep you. And let's just be honest this morning. How many struggled to get here?
I'm going to raise both hands.
And I love what Delilah mentioned earlier. Sometimes you don't want to come. Sometimes you don't. But you got to understand, church is important. Church isn't something. Listen, Jesus Christ bought the church with his blood. And in the day and age that we live in, it's like, I'll just show up when I want to, when I don't want to. But listen to me. We come to exalt him. We come to encourage other people. We come to utilize our gifts for the edifying and the building up of God's church. Are you hearing me? So what I'm saying to you is this. If we are going to build a church that glorifies God, we need to have people that are committed to cultivating unity in their personal life as in the church, so that they're willing to display to people that although you might have gone through some things in the world, you can come here and we're not going to let you down. We're not going to give up on you. We're going to believe in you. We might tell you some things you don't like, but nonetheless, we're here to display the love of God. Are you hearing me? Thirdly, what needs to happen for unity to take place within any church or within any organization or even at your job, and this one I feel led to talk about, we got to rid ourselves from all our prejudices. Someone say prejudice. Prejudice is simply this. Listen to the definition. It's to have unreasonable feelings, opinions, or attitudes towards someone or something. Prejudice is to judge prematurely, to have a hostile opinion or judgment about a person out of irritation, suspicion, or hatred. And sometimes, because of what we've been through, we come into the house of God and we have judgments, irritations, and hatred towards people based on something that happened a long time ago or something we never dealt with. And as a result, now we don't want nothing to do with people. We got everyone at an arm's distance length, or we build walls to protect us. But the very walls that you built, listen to me, are the very walls that will imprison you from experiencing freedom and the beauty of relationships. Are you hearing me? And let's be honest. We all got prejudices. You got something that irritates you when people do. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you about a prejudice real quick. Can I tell you? Don't get mad at me, though. Nah, I ain't gonna say it. That's wisdom, my brother. They're not bad. It's actually not a bad thing. Some of you get irritated when people, I'm not going to say it's me, but some of y'all get irritated if you sit at the table with somebody and they eat with their mouth open. Call it what you want to call it. Don't tell me you don't get irritated. Don't tell me you won't put your fork down and no longer eat. See, some of you know what I'm talking about. You got a prejudice. Hello. It's something so small and something so... It may be insignificant, but the truth is this. Listen, we all have things that irritate us. But this is what you got to be careful with. Just because somebody does something that reminds you of somebody that hurt you don't mean that we got to pay for it. And sometimes because we're unwilling to deal with things within the church, we develop prejudices or we make judgments on other people because of what we've experienced or maybe we didn't deal with. Sometimes we as humans, we allow the pettiest things to disrupt our flow. We cannot allow our differences to cause a divide within God's house. I'm going to do things different from you. You're going to do things different, but this is what I'm trying to get to. Cultivating unity means we got to rid ourselves from any prejudices. You might not like my leadership style. It's okay. At the end of the day, are we marching in the same direction? I might get to a destination different from you, but if we get there the same way, holiness being the center, the love of God being the foundation, what does it matter? But sometimes, because we don't like the way things are done, we X out that option. But I'm talking about cultivating unity. I'm going to move quickly. So in order for a team to be successful, there needs to be unity. Someone say unity. The second key to a successful team, communication. He said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Communication plays a huge role in the success of any team. Without good communication, we will grow frustrated. And you can take this to your job. You can take this to your household. But we live in a day and age, we don't like to communicate no more. I mean, everything's detailed to us not answering our phones. You can ignore the call. They even give you pre-text already. Hey, I'm in a meeting, can't call, this, that. Come on, somebody. Right? What bothers me is, you know, you call somebody and they don't answer. I get that. It's okay. But then you see them live on Facebook. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. Huh? But we live in a day and age where people call, but instead of calling, we'll text. What do you need? I can't right now. You can make the call, but you're unwilling because of the way. What I'm trying to say is we got to be careful we don't become products of our environment, because communication is the key to working together. If the enemy can come in and disrupt communication between you and your family, you will eventually collapse as a family. Look at what happened. This is all Jesus had to do to have the people disunite in building the Tower of Babel. The Bible says that after God noticed their self-righteous act, all he had to do was interfere with their communication. He said, come, let us go down, confuse their language so they will no longer understand each other. There are some of you, sometimes we struggle because we're not understanding each other, but we're unwilling to fight and communicate. Don't get to the place where you just don't want to deal with it anymore. Communication. Someone say communication. I was reading an article on effective teams. And one of the articles I read said this: effective teams, they pride themselves on open communication. It also mentioned that ineffective teams were marked by gossip, hidden agendas, and guarded communication. When things go unresolved, over time, we'll make up assumptions that may not even be real. Are you hearing me? This is why it's important that this church, we learn to resolve conflict the right way, according to the word. We have conversations. We speak to people about how we feel. It's not bad to tell somebody how you feel, but it has everything to do with the tact and the tone in which you communicate that. And thirdly, in order for a team to be successful, they have to have unity, communication. And third, in order for a team to be successful, they have to have effective planning. Someone say planning. If as one people speak in the same language, they begin to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now listen to me. I'm going to end here, but I need you to catch this. A plan describes the common goal and points everyone in the right direction. Most people who never really get ahead in life are people who simply don't have a plan. There's some people, you're here today, your life is always in chaos, and it's not a result that the enemy's against you, it's because of your lack of planning. God has called you with a purpose, but then when we come and we live in such a way where we don't have a plan, we don't even know what's really going on next week. You have been called with purpose. God wants to give you vision, but you got to be willing to work the plan he gives you.